It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
And welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. We are joined today on Super Bowl weekend, by the way. We're going to have to discuss that. We are joined with Penny Rich, our senior NFL correspondent.
I love it.
You get a new assignment every week.
Every week. It's great. I love it. It's okay.
By the way, so why not start with that? Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
So I'm a Kansas City person this weekend. I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a great quarterback, young, extremely athletic, really smart. When you watch him look down the field, he's doing a really amazing job. He's got an arm that is just amazing.
It's ridiculous,
right? And how old is he? Like 24, 25, maybe? I don't know.
I look at him and I feel like, is he shaving yet?
Yeah, I know. But he's amazing. He's just a really smart quarterback, right? Because you can tell. And I think most of the smart quarterbacks got into the playoffs. And, he's just one of the young ones that is doing it. We can't deny Tom Brady, even though I am not a Tom Brady fan. And I know this is going to shock a lot of people on the Weekend Water Cooler. I've never liked Tom Brady. I thought we were done with Tom Brady when he left the Patriots. He goes to Tampa Bay and we have to watch him in another Super Bowl. So it's a little disappointing.
Ten Super Bowls. You know, Tom, what is your point? This is what I want to know. What the hell is your point? We get it. You can play. I am exactly in line with everything you're saying. I am done with Tom Brady. I'm kind of over the, I'm from New England and I remember when the Patriots were just awful. Oh my goodness. Just the laughing stock of the NFL. But they have become the New York Yankees of the NFL. They are just corporate winning all the time, repeat. It's tiresome. You feel like there's no spirit left to it. I do notice that I think that the Tampa Bay coach, I kind of like some things that I heard him say. They asked him about, what do you think about Brady? He's kind of coaching out there on the field, isn't he? Whatever. And this guy kind of looks into the camera. And you can just see it written all over his face. Really? You know, it's Tom Brady. You realize you're talking about.
Right.
And what he said is, I do notice that he does a little bit of coaching out there. And, you know, if Tom Brady wants to coach my team a little bit, I'm okay with that.
Right.
We're doing okay. We're doing okay so far this year.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, Brady's a legend. Let's not put it past him. He's a legend. But, he's also, I know I'm not supposed to curse on this, on your radio show, so I'll be really careful. But he's also very arrogant. And, the fact that he wasn't coaching his team, I don't know if it was last year or the year before. He was actually yelling at them. He's yelling at his teammates. You know, he was getting sacked and getting up. He was pissed off and he would go and yell at them because they weren't doing what he wanted or protecting him. But Brady to Gronkowski, that kind of pass doesn't get any better.
It is. But Mahomes, it's great smart. To see that. But Mahomes, here's the thing about smart. Mahomes.
Yeah.
The thing about Mahomes, did you ever know a pitcher by the name of Kent Tekulve? He was a pitcher. I don't ask me what team. I'm going to, probably the freaking Yankees. He was a Major League Baseball pitcher and he pitched sidearm. His arm would go down so low. You wondered if he'd scrape his knuckles on the dirt on the mound. Okay. I have seen Pat Mahomes throw so many passes that were just this is the way I can get it out of my hands. And I just scooping it over this way and I'm falling down this way, but I'll throw it that way. Who can do this? Nobody can do this.
No.
And he's throwing a rocket. He's getting all this juice on the ball and throws it 15 yards doing that and makes the completion. And he does this all the time.
Yeah. No, I know. I think that what he's done though is that he has he has trained his receivers and everybody around him to keep an eye on him too. So he's watching downfield. But I think they can see, they know when he's going to do like that sidearm or that just that shuffle, that backhand. That's still coming at them.
It's ridiculous.
Like a bullet. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Right. You know, forehand and backhand, that's supposed to be a tennis thing.
Right, exactly.
It's supposed to be tennis. I know tennis. And I'm going, how is he doing that? That's not even, it's like lacrosse or something. It's like he's got, I don't know how he does it, but he's amazing. He's very mobile. But it's the main thing is exactly what you cited, which is he's smart.
He's
really quick on his feet and he's very smart. Yeah. And he, unlike a lot of guys his age, knows that sometimes you just tuck the ball in and get down on the ground and lose 8 yards.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, they just keep trying until they get that interception thrown, you know.
Yeah, they throw the interception. All right, let's see. What do you got for
the penalty of being young.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. What do you got? And I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Yeah, a high-scoring game. Yeah. I think it's going to be like watching a tennis match. You just watch them going back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
And I absolutely think the Chiefs are going to win. Am I right? They'd be defending champs, right? Back-to-back? Didn't they win last year?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be awful for Tommy? Oh my.
Yeah.
He'll retire. I doubt it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be close, but I think it's going to be high scoring. And I think that the Chiefs pull it off with a field goal at the end or at the beginning or something like that. Yeah.
I like
that. You know, like a 27-30 kind of
I'll take that. I'll take that score.
All right, let's do it. 27-30.
27-30. We're on the record and the Chiefs win and Mahomes MVP. Is the MVP. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
We don't even need to watch the game now.
Nah, we got it.
the best thing about the Super Bowl, whether anybody acknowledges this or not, is the commercials. This is my biggest problem with the Super Bowl. I'm very accustomed to muting during the commercial and I have to unmute it because the commercials in the first, especially in the first half of the Super Bowl, this is the biggest money in advertising all year long is spent on those ads. And some of them are just unbelievably hilarious.
Oh yeah.
I have found that, that this year, this past year, especially insurance commercials, Progressive and Geico, these are the funniest commercials of everything on television. They're just, I don't know, they figured something out.
And the Geico ones are great. They explain something, you know, we just bought this new house, it's great, but we have a problem, there's too many ants, and then you see all their ants. I mean, it's like
your Aunt Kathy and your Aunt Zelda and so forth. And the one with the clogging problem, and it turns out there's a family of cloggers upstairs.
Or the fencing. They have a fencing.
The
problem.
Fencing is really good. Yeah, when they have a sword fight through the living room. They enjoy a good wordplay, and then they just throw in the tagline at the end. There's an interesting thing about Geico. They actually, their advertising is handled by an agency that's in Raleigh, I think. They're either in Raleigh or Durham. I want to say it's McKinney, but they're not New York. They're not Los Angeles. And these guys have been doing this account for many years. And, you know, they've had these most improbable campaigns, because if you recall, Geico almost always has two or three sets of campaigns going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They have these that we're talking about, which are the wordplay on, you know, we have a clogging problem or an ant problem or whatever. But I mean, they used to also have the caveman, you know, Paul Geico, so easy, a caveman can do it. I always love that because the caveman was going through the airport with his wooden tennis racket to show that he was really, really a caveman. Yeah. But they have thematically two or three completely different, totally unrelated ads going at the same time, pushing the same tagline. There's the gecko.
Yeah.
This is also Geico. And
And
I mean, you know, you would not necessarily look at these ads and think they have the same look and feel. They don't at all. But the customers have obviously sorted this out, and it's been wildly successful for them.
Yeah,
because it's completely unconventional.
It is. It'll be interesting to see if they introduce anything new in the Super Bowl, right? Because that would be the time, you know, remember when Apple introduced the first computer in the Super Bowl, and it was this unbelievable commercial.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I think you're right. I know that, you know, I think they're going to be different, the commercials this year. I think they're going to be because we're all still home, and we're all the way that we consume information and products, the way we buy is just so different. So,
and you know,
we'll see.
And Budweiser, very, very famous for their Super Bowl commercials, the frogs and the, you know, the Clydesdales and, you know, all kinds of different Super Bowl ads that they've done. They are not doing a Super Bowl ad this year, and they are giving $1 million toward COVID relief.
Hmm.
And I thought, I don't know, choosing to not do a Super Bowl ad when you obviously can, that's kind of a brave new world in branding and marketing about who you are as a company. It's an interesting approach. I wonder if that will be mentioned at any point during the game. That would be interesting to see.
That, you know, I think you're right. I also, I think Dolly Parton is, who's also started, who's given so much to COVID relief. I think she's planning on introducing something at the Super Bowl as well. So like I said, it's going to be different. It's not going to be our basic, you know, the car commercials, the beer commercials, and, you know,
I think it's going to be very high level stuff.
Yeah.
On the advertising side. And Dolly Parton, oh my God. My grandchildren, both of them get a book every month from the Imagination Library from Dolly. And they came over today, and Winter comes in and says, I have a new book from Dolly.
Great.
So I mean, what a sensational project. She's a class act.
She
but
really
speaking
is.
Of class acts, we're going to be back with our favorite class act, Penny Rich. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back with Penny Rich, and we just wrapped up explaining to everybody what's going to happen with the Super Bowl, so nobody has to watch the game. Rick just went to Costco today, and so I have plenty of popcorn and supplies for the game, okay? I also have supplies for next week, which is impeachment week, which is like when you have your Super Bowl party, and let me just make this mention, when you have your Super Bowl party, when I say party, I mean you and your family who already live together, just go into the living room and watch the game. I don't mean like an actual party, because we all need to just keep doing what we're doing, which is what we're gonna do. So. But after I'm sort of hung over from the chicken wings and the French fries and the, I don't know, whatever I'm going to make, maybe I'll make some chili or some nachos or something. When I'm, you know, kind of waking up and recovering from that on Monday and Tuesday, then the impeachment trial begins. And let me tell you, this is going to be a political event, the likes of which we have never seen. It's of course not really a trial in the sense of a criminal trial. It's almost a fact-finding hearing, I guess. Right. But you've never ever seen a trial where you have 100 jurors and 97 of them are victims of the crime and eyewitnesses to the crime. And at least partly because of that, to be a fly on the wall in the room with these Democrat impeachment managers from the House of Representatives as they plan their strategy.
Oh,
because who would you like to call as a witness?
Right, first. I mean, they're all 100 of them were sworn in, right? I mean, you can get up there and lie, but then you can also go to jail for lying.
They really can't lie. They're there in this trial They are in the admonition, the charge at the beginning of the day's events. They mm-hmm. are told to remain silent under penalty of, arrest.
Right.
And so they all have to be there all the time, and they have to sit there silently. There'll be no cell phones in Sudoku and Words with Friends while they're listening to all this. At least there's not supposed to be. And even though they're at the crime scene, which is another point, they're going to be running video of these terrorists coming through the Senate, hanging from the walls and tearing the place up. And if that's not compelling enough, you have 435 witnesses in the chamber down the hall.
That's right.
And you can summon any or all of them as well. So there's going to be a lot of going to the videotape, but I'll tell you what I think is probably going to be the most striking about all of it is I think that they're going to go back a little ways to many months before this happened and demonstrate the clear pattern of where this was going all along and how not only did the president not do anything to stop or interrupt it, he was the guy in the front with the bayonet leading the charge.
Right.
And it is of no surprise that this happened.
Yeah. And I think it's not going to be that hard to prove what you just said. And we don't know the outcome, right? Because we just don't. We're going to go through, like you said, you're going to have your popcorn. We joked a little bit beforehand about setting up your bingo card. But we don't know the outcome, but we have to hold someone accountable. And the only person that could be held accountable to this, well, the number one person is Donald Trump. Then you need to start, you need to peel back that onion and get every single person that was there encouraging this kind of behavior. I mean, you just can't not explore how do you punish someone for this? You can't overthrow the United States government. It doesn't work that way. And
I don't get to do that.
And I think you're right though. I think that, the lead up to this is so important. And I think they've got it. I think that this time, the second time this person has been impeached, it's disgraceful, but they learned a little bit the last time. So they're going to hopefully apply what they learned. And move it to the next level. That's what one could hope for.
And two of the people that they need to go after next are going to be sitting there on the jury, Ted Cruz and Hawley, Senator Hawley. And I mean, this won't, whatever happens here won't be the end of it. What I'm hoping for, I know that there's a bipartisan effort to get support for censure, and which only requires 51 votes. I think that within a censure resolution or whatever it is, a bill, that they can prohibit him from serving in federal office again. I think that they can do that without the conviction for the impeachment, right? I think that's right.
That would be very important. I think a lot of people are looking at, though, also, this is a man that's going to get $200,000 a year and security and protection. That all of our taxpayer dollars are going to protect this guy who tried to overthrow the United States government.
Kill his vice president.
Kill his vice president. They brought a noose, so there's no denying that they were going to do that. They have this all on tape. It's the guy with the zip ties. They were ready to go in and take hostages, and let's not forget. We have five people that are dead. We have a police officer that was there that died. So a police officer died later, and then there has been two suicides in that police force since.
Right.
The Republican Party was the party that supposedly loved our law enforcement, right? That law and order. Yeah. There's a police officer that's, you know, that was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher. I mean, how violent is that to pick
and
up
then,
a fire extinguisher?
And then, by the way, and then continued working. I didn't know this until his service then, yesterday. Then continued working. And when he got back to his division, then he collapsed and they brought him to the hospital and he died.
He died.
From a head injury.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be a fascination. Very, very serious things going on there in the Senate. I hope that the Republicans can behave themselves to get through the event. Unlikely, right? But
I think it's unlikely. Yeah, when you take a look at your bingo card, let me know what you got on there, because I think you need to have this, you know, this delusion that, oh, it happens on both sides. No, Democrats have never tried to overthrow the government. So I need to, you know, when you get your card up, let me take a look and I'll let you know how many we have that are very similar. Or
the same, right?
The same.
Right. Well, you know, it's going to be it's going to be a 2-glass-of-wine night every night of the week this week to just try to process what we're about to see. I don't think it's going to take more than this week. This coming week.
I hope
week.
Not. They need to get it done quickly. Yeah, let's not drag
this
out.
I don't think it's going to be a protracted thing.
Right.
And then we can get on to the business of the nation, which is epic at this point. Mm. And we're going to take a quick break and try to pay some bills. We're talking with Penny Rich. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich. My cohort in crime here. And, you know, we're talking about for a little bit about COVID and what COVID has revealed in our economy. I wouldn't say it caused all of it, but it sure revealed it, but good for the last year. The inequities, the number of people who are working, for example, in the restaurant business and in service jobs like this, who are just getting killed in this last year financially. I just, honest to God, I don't know how they do the work at this level of risk. And while I think that's admirable, I'm really hard line about, if you don't think that getting minimum wage to $15 an hour right now is absolutely necessary, then please sit down and let me talk to you at a loud volume for another 2 hours. Because when you have low wage people at doing jobs that I think we all know now are very vital jobs at Walmart, at the grocery store, etc., and you're paying them $9 an hour, and they're working 40 hours a week.
Right.
They can't afford a 2-bedroom apartment. Those wages, Penny Rich, will not allow you to pay the rent in a 2-bedroom apartment anywhere in the United States of America. That means something very big and serious is very broken. When you look at the rate scales that HUD sets for what are acceptable rates or reasonable rent reasonableness rates for apartments all across the country by various communities, metropolitan statistical areas. You can work 40 hours a week, certainly at minimum wage. No way in the world are you able to pay. I'm not saying you should have a mansion, but you should be able to pay for your own apartment, and you can't. So
you
that means that if you work at McDonald's full time, if you work at Walmart or at the grocery store and you work there 40 hours a week, or if you work for a couple of the grocery stores that I know of in the area, they're not going to give you 40 hours a week. They're going to give you 35 or 36 hours a week, so that you don't qualify for benefits.
For healthcare,
For your healthcare. So you have to pay for your own healthcare. You have to pay for your rent. You can't afford your rent. And so you are on a housing subsidy. you're either living in public housing or you're on Section 8, or you know, or I don't know what you're doing, because you can't pay what typical rents would be in our community or in any community in the United States. This is true everywhere. So we are already subsidizing these families. Nobody's talking about giving a brand new shiny gift of cash to people who, number one, who don't earn it. But also, for many of these people, $15 an hour would be darn close to doubling their income.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, and they make whatever the number is, $33,000 a year, I think, 32, something like that. And then, yeah, you can get an okay apartment, a one or two bedroom apartment for your family. And then the taxpayers are not paying for your apartment. You right. are.
Right. But you're recycling, you know, that. Yeah. I mean, that money gets back into the system, back into
exactly.
the community.
Exactly. You're paying for your groceries. You can come off of food stamps.
Right. Right. I mean, this is an old problem that you know, again, it goes down party lines, right? The Democrats want to help because they understand, you know, the economy has always been better when the Democrats take over.
Isn't
right?
that delicious?
But the Republicans are the fiscally responsible, supposedly, party. But they the way that they're fiscally responsible is they allow people to be poor. And that's, yeah. it's a huge problem because, you know, we're talking about housing and, you know, building the kind of housing that that is going to be affordable for someone that makes $15 an hour, that doesn't exist. So how do we encourage, how do we incentivize that? Like we incentivize
exactly.
these businesses to come here. How do we
right.
incentivize building this so-called, and I would say it's not even affordable housing. It's more like, you know, this is like a living wage so people can live.
It's just basic, housing.
Right. I mean, you know, you don't need the granite countertops, you can call it luxury apartments. I mean, no one needs that. And by the way, it's stone, people. It's just rock. I don't understand why that's like the most exciting thing in the world.
Shiny.
Anyway.
It's shiny.
You know,
Penny.
But you know, how much more could we do if we had some of our, you know, $15 an hour people living in town? How much more diverse can we be? How much more exciting right. of a town would we be?
Right.
I mean, it's just, there's that argument that keeps going on and on here. I live downtown Carrboro. You and I were talking a little bit about this. I would wish that everyone at some point could live in the downtown area of Carrboro and
right.
Chapel Hill. I walk everywhere. I buy my groceries, put them in a backpack, walk home. I take the bus. You know, it's just an amazing feeling. Now, my apartment I share with my mom, so it's something that would be, you know, it wouldn't be affordable under a person that's making $7.50 an hour.
Right.
But think about like how we could work this where you can get people downtown. Get them out of cars, get people out of commuting. Let's face it, a lot of these folks work at UNC. They can hop on a bus and get down to UNC it pretty easily. Or, you know, you can get over to Duke if you work in Duke Hospital. It's that public transportation is part of that big picture of
right.
Right. housing. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's always this conversation in Chapel Hill and Carrboro also, I think more so in Chapel Hill. There's no more land to build single family homes. So, there hasn't been for years, Gene. You've got
That's
to
right.
build vertical. You've got to be able to accept all kinds of people into your community, not only rich people or, you know, students that have their or subsidized by their parents. It's time that Chapel Hill comes to this realization and stops fighting that, you know, what we can't be built. We have to stop building apartment buildings. Why? Not everybody wants to have a house. Not everybody wants to own a house. I mean, it's
right.
Why would we? Why do we put people down that want to live in apartments? Me, I like living in an apartment.
Right, because you don't have to cut the grass. If something goes wrong with the in the bathroom, that's the landlord's problem to fix. There's a lot of advantages to renting, a lot.
There is, and I don't need a big house anywhere. Once my kids moved out, let's pass that house on to the next person the next couple that's going to have the family. Let's do that, you know, but you need to build the apartment where I and other people that are going to downsize can move into. If you stop
right.
building them, what are you doing? You're turning into a place that is just untouchable. You cannot afford to live here.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that that's, in some instances, that's where we are right now.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel sad now. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to cheer up, and then we're going to talk some more with Penny Rich. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, I'm back with Penny Rich, and we're talking, you're my favorite Jewish person. We're talking about y'all's space lasers.
Aren't you jealous?
I never knew this about the Jewish people, about the space lasers. Marjorie Taylor Greene is what we're talking about. She's a lunatic. She's using language that's dangerous. She's threatened to kill people. And of course, when she met with the Republican caucus for the House of Representatives, they gave her a standing ovation. That just goes without saying, I suppose. But, what's wrong with her? Was she hit in the head?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about conspiracy theories and, this QAnon and how it all started it's almost like that, this cult started, this Q person, whoever it is, or people or group, got folks to believe in them. And it just went after that. Right. And here she is believing all this stuff. Something I want to say, what you just said, you're our favorite Jewish person, which is an honor. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Mamala Rich.
Mamala Rich, yeah. And I think everybody knows what Mamala means, right? It's a very endearing word. It's not necessarily mother. It's more of someone that you really love that does good for you. You call Mamala. And that's why it's so nice that Kamala Harris is called Mamala. But, Donald Trump has never been good for the Jewish population, even though there are some Jews that are diehard Republicans. Everyone thought, oh, well, he's got a Jewish daughter. She converted, his grandkids. He just couldn't care. He is like the main person that pushed this QAnon stuff. And, she went with it. And the people that voted for her knew how crazy she was. She was talking about this crap since 2018. Right. So let's not say like, oh, she just started talking about it. No. You look who she ran against. She ran against a guy that was a pretty smart neurosurgeon who should have been the person.
Oh my God.
In her primary, who should have been the person that won. But no, because she was pushing these crazy, the school shootings are hoaxes and 9/11 didn't happen. And I don't know what the Republican Party is thinking when they're giving her a standing ovation because she apologized. She apologized for saying these crazy things. No, that's not an apology.
And that just cracked me up. She apologized to who?
Yeah,
to a bunch of white guys.
In a closed session, for all these incredible,
disgusting things that she said. She apologizes to these guys in private. And then comes right out afterwards and says she stands by all of it. What does that apology mean to anybody?
It doesn't. And so they didn't strip her of her committees. And I think the Democrats should. You should strip her of her committees. I mean, come on. You have taken people out of office who have done so much less than what she has done. And yet, we're gonna let this continue. I mean, it's bad. Bad for the country. Bad for the Republicans. I'm sorry. Bad.
Well, in its own way, it is the entirely appropriate, incredibly obvious death knell for the Republican Party because they can't find their way out of this wet paper bag at all.
No.
And the way out is really, really obvious. You take this person and you kick her out.
Right. And anyone else that follows her. Yeah, let's start getting rid of these people. Why are we still afraid of Donald Trump? I mean, we're not, but the Republicans, why are they so afraid? I mean, power is this little bit of sickness, right? Once you get a little bit of power, you want more and more and more. You don't want to give it up. But you're going to throw your country under the bus. You're going to throw people that you represent. And Mitch McConnell, Kentucky is doing horrible with COVID. Horrible. They're just like on the bottom of the bottom. And Mitch McConnell represents these folks and they still put him back in office?
Well, and, you know, yeah. he's elected by them, but he doesn't represent them at all.
No,
he's not serving them in any way. He doesn't care about them. He doesn't do town halls. He doesn't. You can't point to anything that he's done that has been, boy, oh, boy. Thank goodness the people of Kentucky had Mitch McConnell for that.
Exactly.
So what's happened, I think, in the larger view is that the Republican Party, which was once and first the party of Abraham Lincoln, is now has switched sides. They're now the party of Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
That's what I think is manifest. They fly his flag. Mm-hmm. They support his philosophy of white supremacy and the urgent need to hold down minorities and women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Their argument for their being in power to do anything is that they're white and male, and that's pretty much the obvious. They think that's the obvious answer. Well, you know, right. Why do you want to be president? Well, look at me, I'm white and male. I mean, they, you know, this is a little bit of a flashback for 2009 when Barack Obama came into office, this feeling of anxiety for his safety. I feel that way for Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And probably will while she's in office at this level, because I just know that if you think they wanted Barack Obama, they want her much more.
Because she's lining up to be the next president, right?
And she's young
and she's smart and she's
and
a woman
she has
and
a uterus.
She's black and she, if you can't control things, you start controlling the uterus again.
That's right. We go back to the uterus again and
always.
Again. And you know, these guys, the thing that I feel hopeful about is that along this same track is the rise of Stacey Abrams,
right?
And people like her, who are absolutely adamant that the way to save this country is to engage the public in democracy,
right,
and make sure that people can vote.
That when we
vote, democracy wins, people are safer, and the world is a better place, not just our country, but around the world.
Right.
So,
and, you know,
I'm gratified to see that.
I think the Democrats are going to have to do a reconciliation to try and get the John Lewis Act passed also. Because, as it is, we see it's not going to happen. But that absolutely needs to go in place, because that puts those protections back in place for voting rights.
That's exactly right.
You know, Stacey Abrams is in it for the right reason. You know, there is a certain amount of power that she gets for what she does, but she's in it for the right reason. She's a politician because she wants to help people. And, you know, I can talk personally. That was the only reason I ever wanted to get into politics, is to help people. Right. It's not like, you know, I get to go to a basketball game once a year, a UNC game. I can buy my own ticket to the basketball game. That wasn't it. You know, that's not it.
Yeah.
It was to help people. It was to make sure that people got through their day knowing that their leaders were there to help them. And that's what Stacey Abrams is. And that's why she won Georgia, because they realized that she was there for them. Not this crazy Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Let's, you know, whatever she needs, let's give it to her. You know,
I agree.
That's what the more power to you means. That's what it's all about.
And as usual,
Penny Rich, we're
time. Time is up. Oh, no.
Time is.
How does this happen?
Time is more than a wonderful herb that's growing in my hallway. but I do have a lot of it, by the way. If you need any, let me know.
I do. Yeah.
Penny Rich, I thank you very much as usual. Always exciting to talk to you. We are going to be watching these events of this coming week with fingers crossed and the front door locked. I will say that as we depart, if you're going out, mask up. If you're staying in, keep it right here on 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.